about it, but when you tell somebody, even mention God to somebody, the expressions change. It really does, and their expressions change, and it makes you feel inside that you touched them. Whatever way you touch them, what God did, but you touch them, amen? Whoever you meet, if you give them any kind of God, whether it be a woman at the line, at the grocery, wherever, your boss, your co-workers, your teachers, it actually changes them. They have to look at you, even if they don't realize it, in a different way, amen? And he felt so embarrassed. I wasn't embarrassed for him when I said to him, you know, don't worry, God's with you to let go many times, and that's the truth, amen? Because there's nothing you've ever said or done that God hasn't heard you say you do because he's been right there with you, amen? Morning.
If he's been there with you all this time and he's loved you through that, how much more is he going to love you when you give your heart to him, amen? When you give your love to him, when you start to trust him. As Jesus would say, welcome to my world. His arms stretched arms. Do you have to do anything? No. Any works you have to do to be accepted in his world? No. Do you have to say anything? No. Do you have to be anything? No. You just have to love him. You just have to love the Son. Welcome to my world. We put walls up. Men put walls up. We write books. We write books other than the Bible, and we put walls. We put rules and regulations. How you fit in. How do you become a member? How do you get your salvation? Is there salvation? And Jesus simply said, welcome to my world. Give God praise and glory this morning. The prayer, according to the book of Matthew, that Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Be seated. Relax. Take your shoes off. Shake the dust off. Have joy, unspeakable joy. Have peace. Amen. Just enjoy and everything in decency and order. Hallelujah. I'm reading 29. Psalm 29. David wrote this for us. Actually, he wrote this for himself. The things he went through in his life, and he wrote these songs to God. Hallelujah. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. Hallelujah. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. Hallelujah. Psalm 29. You just read the Word of God. Say, I don't read much of the Bible. Well, guess what? You just did. Give Him praise and glory, church. Give God praise. Always give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. Testimony to God today, and testimony what God can do in your life. Amen. How many want to be more like God today? How many want God in their life more today? If you do, listen. There's a show on TV, a very fun show to watch. It's called Undercover Boss. Anybody ever seen that? Where the owner of the company spends a whole time with the employees? And I watched that show the other night, and it really got touched. You know, they were really great, really gracious to the people and generous. But it just said he went to different places and saw different people that he worked, that worked in the stores. And there was always one that had a light that shined through. Amen. There was always one who did extra work. There was always one who loved their job and always one who did their job, I want to say better than other people, but did their job with more desire. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? They did their work like they were working to God, not even worried about the company. They had a job to do, and they did their job. If there's something needed to be done, they simply did it. If something needed to be changed, they simply did it. Amen? And so he went to these places, and he saw these people, and he saw these women doing extra work, being worried about the product, being worried about the things that needed to be done. He saw one young fella who was working hard trying to take care of his family, and he said his desire someday was to actually own a franchise, which was $250,000 to have a franchise. And he said, someday I'd like to be an owner of one of these franchises. And he worked so hard. And it came to realize to me what I've been trying to tell you for all the times we've been together, that if you do your work, if you go to school, whatever you do unto God, people notice. You want to be noticed, you have to rise above. Amen? If you don't want to be noticed, you don't do anything special. You don't dress anywhere special. You don't take what you do very special. You don't really give any idea to your job. You just show up and do your job and you leave. And that's okay too. But if you want to be noticed, if you want to be raised up, if you want people to see you, you have to shine, amen? And that little light that shines from you, from God, amen? Are you with me? And I realized that these people were noticed because their light shined ahead, amen? And at the end of the show, it has tears in your eyes. And he gives one person $10,000 for their children. And he gives them $10,000 to take a vacation. And another one, take your mother on a vacation. And here's $10,000 to put in the bank to help you with your education. And then he came to the one young man who worked so hard and he was so diligent and teaching his employees and teaching them everybody how to sing a song, how to get people in, how to have joy at work. Oh my God. Amen. How to have joy at work. And he sat down with him and he said, it's $250,000 to own a franchise. We're giving you a franchise. And, you know, with tears in your eyes. If you watch this and you now have tears in your eyes, then you're just watching unemotional. I don't know how you can do that. And I saw the look in his face. Who would give me this? Who would do this for me? Let me tell you, God does that for you, amen? God does that for you. You find favor with God. You find favor. He didn't ask for that. He just did his job to the best of his ability. He looked good, made sure everybody else looked good, and was rewarded. God, time, and God bless you, Christopher, God, time and time again, rewards you, amen? You step up. You take a step, say, I can get away with doing this. I can get away with wearing this. I can get away with just showing up. But if I go and I do my job to the best of my ability and I work harder at my job and I do it better, people are going to notice, amen? You might not even see them notice the first time or the second time, but they notice. They hear your words. If you go somewhere and you're a kind, loving person, you're a giving person, you might not notice how many people are paying attention, but eventually you will because they'll be drawn to you, amen? If you say nice things to people, you might not realize how you've touched somebody, but eventually you will because people are going to be drawn to you. Amen? The people want to be around you. How many know there's a lot of depression in the world? Amen? There's a lot of people saying all kinds of foul things all the time, telling all kinds of foul jokes, and just going through the motions, complaining all. Anybody know anybody that complains all the time? How many times a day you want to talk on the phone with that person? The phone rings, you see the name, so I'm busy. But if the phone rings and it's somebody who is always cheerful, not that they don't have problems, amen? We all have problems, amen? We all have battles. But if it's somebody who's just so up all, so positive, you can't wait to pick up the phone and say, hey, how you doing today? Good to hear from you, amen? That's what we should be, all of us. Walking as Jesus, amen? Walking stronger in the Lord. Sure, we have depression sometimes. We all do because we're in the flesh or we get sad. Sometimes you fight with your husband or your wife. But we rise above, amen? Those are the natural things in life. You have disagreements. You know, you start to think about this, brothers and sisters. Especially those that are married. Sometimes you have the most... What's the word? The disagreement about the most silliest of things. Right, honey? Yeah, we're at, you know, I don't dare say because I don't want to get him in trouble. But I mean, it could be nothing that causes a disagreement. What are you talking about? It's just... It's life, amen? But that's not... When you're with God, we face those things daily, but there's things in the world, troubles in the world, that we have to rise above, amen? And you do it with God. You do it with the Spirit of God. You do your work unto God. You talk to your friends like Jesus is standing right there. He's been with you all the time. He doesn't want to change you, but He wants you to be better than you are. Amen? You ever hear anybody say, is this all there is? And I say, of course it isn't all there is. God's got something new for you today. And you say, well, I have this illness or I have this problem. See, God says, God doesn't see that. So the longer you talk about having it and the longer you see it, the longer you're going to be back there instead of moving forward with God, because He doesn't see that. He said, I'm going to carry you through that. Amen? He said, you just rise above that. You worry, and then all of a sudden you don't even worry about that anymore. This God that we're talking about is your God. Amen? Your God. He loves you. 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 He just yearns for you to draw closer. He yearns for you to trust Him. He yearns for you to see that you're better than you are, because He sees you better than you are. And I challenge you today on the first Sunday of the first new year to rise up and say, you know what? I'm going to do more like God wants me to. I'm going to represent God. No matter what I'm doing, whether it's playing bass guitar or whether it's working at a tire, whatever job you're doing, wherever it is, you say, you know what? I'm gonna represent God. When people see me, they're gonna see somebody different. They're gonna see somebody special. Don't do it. It changes lives around you. Amen. That's a testimony. That's your God. That's your God. And you don't have anything. You don't have anything unique. You just chose God. Amen. Anybody can choose this. Amen. You don't get blessings. Don't feel guilty. Sometimes anybody here ever felt guilty about the things God's blessed you with? Say no. He's blessed you with it because you worked to it. You earned it. You walked your way through it, and He chose you to be blessed. But everybody in the world can have those same blessings. Amen. That's our God. Anybody who wants Jesus can have Jesus when you want Him right here. Amen? Right here. That's your God. This is a great year to get started. Focus in yourself no more on you but on God. Amen? No matter what it is you're doing, whoever you're talking to, however you are, you say, I represent Jesus. I'm going to do a better job. Give Him praise and glory. Argue about the craziest things. Praise the Lord. Okay. I worked all week. My wife will tell you I've worked hours this week on a sermon. And as the morning rose, I said, you know, not today. And I said, God, but and so God said, start it today. Get the ball rolling. Too much in one day. Anybody ever hear the sinner's prayer? Anybody, any religion you go to, you hear somebody talk about the sinner's prayer? How about an altar call? Has anybody ever heard of an altar call? Do you know what an altar call is? When they call people up and they give their to Jesus, you give your heart to Jesus, you raise your hand or whatever you do. So I started on that. Salvation and Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Some people don't know for sure how much they love Him or if they love Him enough. Jesus said the mustard seed. Anybody know what a mustard seed is? Roger, you cook. You know what a mustard seed is? How small a mustard seed is? Jesus said simply, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest of faith, the tiniest of faith, that's enough to move a mountain. Amen? Not your faith. Not Him, but you. You believe just Jesus. Just enough. You say, Jesus, I want to know more. That means you have the faith of a mustard seed. Amen? If you say, I'm not sure how much I love you or how much I believe, that's the faith of a mustard seed. Amen? Are you with me? So I started reading on salvation, and I started reading all these people, these scholars, these Bible scholars, these people who know more than I do. David, I'm sorry, but there's people who know more than I do. You're stuck with me. So I started reading smart people and all these people in the wisdom on salvation. And I started wisdom on the altar call and doing something unto God. One person said it's the act of the devil to do the altar call. And I said, well, I have to read this a little deeper. And he said, there's nothing in the Bible that calls for people to come up and give their pledge to God. Nothing in the Bible at all. And I say, well, you know, I always say, if it's not in the Bible, Chuck, right? If it's not quite in the Bible, I got to be... And then later on he says in the next paragraph, well, I know that I said that, but if people really do give their heart to God, no matter where it is, I guess it's really not the work of the devil. Amen? And then I have a friend who prays for his lost friends, the friends who have passed away. Anybody here ever hear of that? Somebody praying for people who have passed away? You know, I pray for everybody. And let me tell you, it's on his heart to do it every single night. Every single night. To pray for people who have passed away. Not in the Bible. You can't really find it in the Bible. And I've never, as a pastor, I've never said anything like that. Somebody said to him one day, you know, that's not in the Bible. You shouldn't do that. I said, I guess they must be smarter than me. Because this man is praying to who? About people who have passed away. Amen? It's on his heart. Not anybody else's heart. He didn't call anybody else, but it's on his heart to do it. And somebody said, well, it's not in the Bible. You shouldn't do that. But wait a minute. God may have given him that. Amen? That's his walk. It could be. And then I started thinking, are we God? Do we know more than God? Are we smarter than God? So this man in his heart of hearts is praying every night. And he says he can't go to sleep if he doesn't do it. Imagine that. The dedication. So I'm thinking, I know God. I mean, and I know how he loves. And I know salvation. And I know how he cares. And I'm thinking, this man prays for somebody night after night. And that person might not have made it. Amen? Because there are people. And then God hears this man's prayer night after night. And he says, I have to honor this man's prayer. Because somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me once. Even though this person is gone, God knows where he is. Amen? So how do I know that God doesn't reach down and lift him up and tell that soul, because this man prayed for you, welcome in, my child. Amen? And I started reading about salvation again. And I started reading about the altar call. And I started reading about who these people were. Scholars, professors, Bible theologians, the smart guys. And then I started to remember, who put Jesus to death? The high priest, the scribes, the men of God put Jesus to death. Why? It was Jesus. He was God standing right there, amen? And they're the high priests and the scribes, and they're not Catholics. Don't go there with me, okay? When I say high priests, these were Israelites, remember? Okay, these were rabbis. They didn't want, you know why they didn't want Jesus? First of all, he wasn't the king that they chose. They wanted some king to come and destroy their enemies, amen? And the second thing was, they saw Jesus and they thought, I'm not going to be important anymore. I'm not going to be the one people look up to anymore. I have to step back and let Jesus rise, and I'm not ready to do that. You know, it says in the Bible about the beware of the scribes who wear long robes and bright shiny colors and walk around like they're somebody and sit at the best table at the house and sit in the front row. He said, beware of those people, for they seek their own. Now, don't look at somebody who does that and say, you're evil, because they're not. It just says to beware of those people. That's why I choose to just dress like this, because I'm one of you. Amen? I'm your pastor, but I'm one of you. So beware. So I'm thinking, who are the people that turned away from, that killed Jesus, that wanted Jesus gone? Bible scholars, professors, high priests, amen? And then I started thinking, let's see, who are the men that talked about Jesus? It was a fisherman. I'm a fisherman. Musician. I'm a musician. Hallelujah. Other musicians. A tax collector. And back then, they really were bad, amen? Back those tax collectors back then, that's why, that's the whole thing with Matthew, knowing that he gave his life. So you look at me and you say, who are you? You're just a fisherman and you're a musician. I'm a son of a carpenter. My daddy was a carpenter. Who's Jesus? the son of a carpenter. I'm not Jesus. I'm not even, I'm just saying, who are the people? Who are the people that gave us God? Who are the people that told us about Jesus? Who? Fishermen. People who were willing to receive, amen? People who were wanting something, and they saw God, and they rose up and gave up everything they had to follow Him, and He blessed them, amen? These are the people. So I started thinking, salvation, I like it better. Altar call, not something. Some churches don't have it. Some churches refuse to have it. They don't think you need it. I said, that's okay. It's got nothing to do with me. That's a church, amen? That's a denomination. Those are rules made by, hallelujah. Some churches say, I don't have to be born again. I don't have to get baptized. Because, well, for one reason, I was baptized as an infant. I was baptized. Right there. But Jesus says you need to be born again. He told Nicodemus that, who was a Pharisee. He said you need to be born again. Jesus, who said that? Jesus said that. You need to be born again. But I don't know how about you people. How much do you remember when you were a month old? Anybody? How many remember when you were, Ed, don't worry, you probably remember everything. How many remember when you were 2 years old? I mean 5 years old, 8 years old, even 10 years old. I mean, you might remember this or that, but you don't remember. So how do I know when I was 1 year old that I gave my life to Jesus? Somebody else said I gave my life. Somebody else said I belong to this denomination. Or that's why I belong, because somebody else said this is where... Somebody else said, you know, I'm Republican. Somebody else said, I mean, I'm people. People go, you can take it all the way right there. There's folks that have been affiliated with a party because their great-grandfather was, and then their grandfather and their father, and that's what you're supposed to be, and you're supposed to this, and you're supposed to that. But then the Bible says, I'm to be baptized. I'm supposed to give my heart. I'm supposed to acknowledge Jesus and accept Him into my heart. Amen? And be baptized. An outward expression of an inward conversion. I said, just so many beautiful things. I kept talking. And then I remembered one other thing. I am your pastor. Amen? And we're all friends, and we go out, and we have dinner, wherever we do. And you don't call me Pastor Larry all the time. Some do, but I am your pastor here. And my responsibility level is here. I can't tell you wrong, or I'm going to get punished from God. Amen? My responsibility as your pastor, I mean, we all have opinions, but when I'm talking to you from the Bible, is different than your responsibility talking to a friend about God or what you think or what you believe, because I am your shepherd. I am responsible for you. I am responsible for part of your salvation, for part of your walk, for part of your growth. And if I lead you astray, I'm responsible to God. Amen? That's the path I chose when I started this path in my prayer. I chose that. I understood that we could laugh and we can joke and we can discuss and disagree. But if it came standing right here talking to you, I had to be as close to the Word as I could possibly be in my heart. Amen? I don't want you to have anger. I don't want you to have discourse. I don't want you to be frustrated. I want you to come to church and have peace. I don't want you to leave here madder than before because I got you riled up on a subject. I want you to leave here with peace because you left with God. Amen? And the more I read, the more I studied, the more I realized it's simply about God. It's about God. It's about Jesus and loving Him. How do we not know somebody prays for somebody who's lost, somebody who passed away? You can't do that. Who said you can't do that? So if I call you up and we're going to have an altar call on a Sunday, not this Sunday, I was hoping for, but on a Sunday real soon, we're going to talk more about it. And you come up and I read and I tell you where it is in the Bible, where you confess with your mouth, amen? Confess with your mouth and ask Him to enter into your heart, that's a salvation call. Well, the men say, well, people leave, people have that and they leave and they think that they've had their salvation.
If they've taken it that way, then they don't have salvation. Amen? You see, people go to church every Sunday for years and years and years. That's a good thing. Amen? They hear the word year after year. They go and they bring their family. Yet they never pray at the table. Yet they never talk about God. You ever hear anybody? I don't talk about God. Oh, I don't pray. I don't want to pray in public because I'm afraid it'll attract attention to me. Oh, I don't tell people about Jesus. That's not my job. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a bishop. But you go to church all the time. Yeah, I go to church, but I don't. Have you all heard that before? I heard that at my home. Don't read the Bible. Don't open that book. Not supposed to. Y'all had that? Don't open the book. When something good happens in your life, and you give God the praise and the glory, amen, whether it be a job, whatever blessings come upon you, and you start to give God the praise and the glory, you can't help but tell somebody else, amen. But if you just go week after week after week, and you I went to church, I'm not going to hell, thank you, Lord. And you never receive God, and you never know God, then you've let somebody else tell you all about it, and you leave, and you don't tell anybody else because you don't know how. You've never experienced it, you never tasted it, you never felt His presence. You just say, I go to church, but I never talk about God. Well, I don't like to talk about God. I tell you that no matter where you are, somebody needs to hear the Word of God. And I can guarantee you from God's Word that if you talk to somebody about God, at the times that they need them, they will start to cry. They will weep because they need to hear good news. Amen? They need to know that there's something else, that God can help them. Sure, sometimes you need to go to a rehab. Sometimes the drugs are too much and the alcohol is too much or whatever. But God will help you through that. He will bring people to you to help you through that, amen? But if you never tell them about God, they go in a circle. It just continues. Nothing ever changes, amen? God is the one that changes the things. But how can you tell people about Jesus if you don't know Him? How can you tell people about Jesus if you never felt His presence? You can't. You can't. Hallelujah. Listen to the peace. We're going to have a salvation call, altar call. We're going to have a sinner's prayer. We're going to do that. I'm going to read more to you and tell you more about it. So when you do it, it's voluntary. It doesn't make you a member of the church. Amen? Y'all know that? It doesn't make you a member of the church. It's just an open expression, you accepting Jesus in. And you might worry about, well, I don't know how much. I'll take you right back to that mustard seed. Amen? Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again. Unless one is what? Again? Again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to Him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, Most assuredly. And when Jesus says most assuredly, believe it's most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Do you hear that? And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And He said, Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Jesus said, The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So everybody who is born of the Spirit. You say, what does that mean? It simply means this. The Spirit in God is a gift from God. Amen? Out of your control. Amen? Out of your control. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it is, but God said He's going to give it to you. Amen? It just said, Nicodemus answered and said to Him, How can these things be? And Jesus said to him, Are you... Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Who is the Son of Man? Hallelujah, Jesus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him, say that with me, that whoever believes in him, stop right there. What do you got to do? You got to do anything else? Is there anything you got to, any works you have to do? Do you have to obey all these? Do you have to be good enough to obey? No. What do you have to do? You have to believe in who? That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What does he have? For what? For doing what? Believing in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Understand, he loved the world. Did you ask him to do this? Did you send up prayers to do this? Did you even know about this? Of course we didn't. But he loved us. So he loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him does what? Has to believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All this is later. You have to do one thing first. What do you have to do? Believe. So if I called you up here today and we did an altar call and I said, Lord, and please come into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for what you did to me on the for me on that cross. Father God, thank you for your Son, Jesus. And say, Lord, I just want to learn more about you. And if you say, Lord, open my heart that I may receive more about you. And Lord, open my mind that I can remove my thoughts and have your thoughts enter my mind so that I can know you more, Lord. Lord, that I can lean on you more. Lord, help me to trust you more. Lord, to tell others about you. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. Does that sound like the work of the devil? No, of course not. That's God entering your heart so that you don't forget. You don't worry about that. You move on from salvation. Do people say that and not receive salvation? Yes, of course they do, because they don't mean it. Amen? People confess a lot of things that they don't mean. Amen? They say a lot of things that they don't mean. We had prayer services for 16 years, and people would get slain in the spirit. Anybody ever see slain in the spirit? If you get laid of hands on, and the person gets slain in the spirit. Let me tell you, there's nothing in the Bible exactly that says that. And I've seen thousands of people be slain in the spirit, and it was a lie. It was a lie to them. But I've seen other people get slain in the spirit and see a miracle, see a healing from cancer, see women who could not have babies all of a sudden conceive child after child, see people find a job they couldn't find a job, see people's life change from being slain in the, from giving their love to God, and they got slain in the spirit, which isn't totally biblical, but it changed their life. They walked closer to God. So I guess a miracle happened. Amen. When I say that some of it was a lie, it's the same as those people who come up for the altar call, maybe like those professors you're talking about, and they really don't mean it. They're just coming up because 200 other people are coming up, and they'll all come up and do that, and they walk away and nothing's changed in their life. Amen? But we don't judge that, do we? Who judges that? Hallelujah. We judge the heart. Love him, accept him, believe him. Jesus said, Miss Pat, to believe him simply for the works. If you don't believe anything else, he says, just believe me for the works that I've done, for the things that you see, for the love that you see in the world. See, because God is love. So if you see love, then you believe love and you believe God exists. So he said, believe me for those reasons first. And then he said, I will carry you. And, amen? And your faith starts to rise. And the more you taste and feel Jesus, your life changes. Amen? Hallelujah. Give God praise and glory. That's your God. Jesus is all I need. Can anybody say that with me? If you feel it, say it. Jesus is all I need. Other people say there's other ways. I say, well, Jesus is all I need. So other people say there's other ways to get to heaven. There's other ways to grow. And I say, Jesus is all I need. I don't say anybody else is wrong. Amen. I never say anybody else is wrong. I just say, Jesus is all I need. Amen. Jesus gets me through. He answers my prayer. He sits at the right hand of our Father in heaven. He is all I need. Maybe there are other ways. It's not for me to say yes or no for. But all I need to know is Jesus is all I need. See, well, I love him so much that he changes us day by day, gets us through, carries us over. Amen. You're going to get so many different things are going to come against you as you walk as a Christian. Believe it or not, your family is going to come against you as you walk as a Christian. Amen. It's going to happen a lot. You're going to have brothers, sisters, uncles, and cousins who don't believe as you do, and they're going to come against you. Amen. That's just what the Bible is going to. The Bible tells us it's going to happen. Amen. But you're walking with the Lord, and he will make you victorious. How many want to be victorious? I know I do. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Brad. This is in remembrance of who? This is a memorial right now to Jesus. Amen? All you're doing is remembering who? Jesus. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it. The only wrong way to do it is to do it with a heart unrepentant. The only way to do this wrong is to do it not believing. If you don't believe, don't partake. But if you believe, it's just in remembrance of who? He said to eat and do this in remembrance of him. Filling in for Jim Howell as Deacon Chuck. Or is it Deacon Bill filling in for Jim Howell? Time to talk to the Lord, brothers and sisters. We're doing the Lord's Supper. Are you with me? We're doing God's Lord's. This may be the closest you are to God for the next 2 minutes than you are the entire week. Right, Brother Gary? This is a time where we're remembering who? In remembrance of Jesus. Give him that honor. Give him that glory this morning. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, for what you did for us, Lord. Start walking closer to you and more like you and trying to make you proud of what we do each and every day. We want you to be proud of us, Lord. We want you to see our growth and our determination, and you will raise us up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Deacon. After he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me," in Jesus' name. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Pray that you start this new day, this new year, telling yourself you're going to shine more for him. Amen. You might not think it necessary to do other things, to take another step, but I ask you then to do it for him, because the Bible says then that's a sacrifice. You don't feel like doing it, but you do it unto God, amen, becomes a sacrifice. And God will see from heaven, amen. But men will see. People will feel the change. They will see. And as you walk that way, you will cause others to change too, amen. You bring others to something that they need. Hallelujah. There will